you. Good Thursday afternoon, everybody. Chris McDonald with you on this special Thursday afternoon Mac Files broadcast. We hadn't seen this old lady in a long time. Emphasis on old. I have to get a dig into her. I've told her to behave herself. She's on the Faith Network. So just, I'm going to have to wash your mouth out with soap. Don't make me come over to North Carolina and have to do that. Actually, you're in Tennessee now, right? You're still in Tennessee. You're my neighbor. This is the one and only Linen Drop. We go back a long way. Chris actually, and I mean this sincerely, Chris was actually one of the originals of the Mac Files. We had her on when being Lemon Drop wasn't even cool, and one day, I think it was the bomb thing. Yeah, we dropped a bomb. She started telling me she's got these bombs she's going to drop, and I can't even play the song now because of YouTube's restrictions on me. I've got to watch that, but... if you are a 70s fan, and what was the name of that group that did that?
The Gap Band.
We will not comment on their manhood or not, but we'll just say that they were the Gap Band. But anyway, the song was cool, and it says, "You dropped a bomb on me," and we adopted that. I'm gonna have to find somebody to do a different version of that for you as we move forward here. But let me hush and just welcome my old buddy. She is a dear friend. Look, I rag her and I jazz her. She jazzes me. We're Braves fans together. We drink a lot together with our sports teams in Atlanta, don't we? And yes. And she's my buddy, Chris Lemon, the Lemon Drop. And we got some bombs to drop on you today. We're going to talk here about 25 minutes or so, and we may take a few questions from you. Now, listen, we are actually broadcasting. I went ahead and put it up on the Faith Network because that's where a majority of our audience is. But we've also posted a link in the Mac Files Facebook page if you'd like to listen to us on our temporary channel to next Wednesday. We got whack last night after the interview with Dr. Senna, sadly. And we're also broadcasting this afternoon on the Mac Justice Network because this is sort of a Mac Justice show in a way as we deal with some legal cases. Chris, you know, me and you have... I know you've been busy. I've been busy. We've not talked as much as we normally do this last several months. But I tell you, you know, you were the one original person that I remember that really did massive amounts of research on the Nexvian cult. And I want you to just share with people a little bit about what that cult was. There's some people that don't know what that is. There were some high-level players in it. Keith Raniere, Allison Mack, a lot of socialites. And they left a trail of destruction with women from here to whatever. And it wasn't just women, it was children. And very, very despicable, ugly accusations of things that went on in that cult. And they were just despicable people. Allison Mack goes into court yesterday and gets 3 years. And she probably ain't even going to see a year of that. Probably won't even see a year of that in our justice system. But I want you to tell everybody about Nexium first and then talk about this sentence because it was a travesty of justice. There's been a lot of that this week. We'll talk a little bit about that. Good to have you, buddy. I really mean that. I know I joke around with you, but it's really true. You're my buddy. You're my friend. And you've been with me from the start when we didn't have but about 20 people wanting to watch us and we had to pay them to come. We had to pay them $1 each to come sit down and get in the audience with us then. Good to see you, man. Talk to us about this situation with the Nexium cult, hun.
Well, Nexium was a sex cult. Now that was led by Keith Raniere and Nancy Sullivan. They founded this group. And they made it sound like it was a thing, a cult. They didn't call it a cult. It grew to be a cult. They made it sound like they would help you become a better person.
Right.
But basically all it did was take your money.
Right.
It was like a Ponzi scheme type thing. But as it grew, they brought in people from Hollywood. Allison Mack was one. Catherine Oxenberg's daughter, India.
Yes.
Got wrapped up into this.
She sure did.
And if anybody had HBO Max, you could watch a docuseries on this. It's called The Vow. I watched it, and it was, even the research I did on it, it was just mind-blowing, because it involved ex-members of NXIVM, like Sarah Edmondson, Catherine Oxenberg, and how they went about getting India out of NXIVM, but how, you know, they enlightened other people of this cult. And that's exactly because they thought Keith Muir was a god.
Yes.
That he could do no wrong, that everything he said, everything he did was perfect. This guy and Allison Mack was almost essentially became his right-hand person. You know, you had Claire and Sarah Bronfman. If anybody's ever heard of Seagram 7, the alcohol.
Yes.
So Seagram 7, yeah. Was the founder, you know, created it. So they were the beneficiaries of his fortune, and they funded NXIVM. So this is where they got the money to do all these things and go all these places. So, you know, they pocketed all this. But what they did behind closed doors, nobody ever knew about. All they thought is it was this enrichment type thing. And if you wanted to grow in the program, you had to pay big money. And they were leveraging their house.
Yes.
Anything, taking out massive credit cards just to fund this thing. But behind closed doors, there was brutalization, starving of women. They were actually taking a cotterine pen and carving the initials KRAM. Into these women. They would hold them down, no anesthesia, and they would brand them to make them understand that they were Keith Raniere and Allison Mack property.
All right, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there, because I want to make people aware of this, because it's very important. These were high-level socialites. These were people that trafficked in Clinton circles and Obama circles and Gillibrand circles of New York, the senator that was such a vile individual, still is. These were political people. They were educational people. They were entertainment people. It had its ties to Hollywood, had its ties to the music industry, had its ties to the political people. But Chris, some of these stories that started trickling out about this cult, and that it is a cult, I couldn't understand why people were paying money to get into this thing. What was the allure, in your opinion? Why were people wanting this? Was it that important to be part of this socialite club, and they didn't realize it was nothing but a glorified sex orgy that they were getting involved in? Because there were stories that started coming out about daycares, kids, adults. This was not just adults. This was kids, no, children, kids. Correct?
Yeah. Yes. They. It also branched out into running daycare / sex trafficking of children, abuse, whatever you could think of, that's what was taking place. Because they built it up as self-help. They built it up as being a place where you can make a better
person, that's right,
of yourself by following all these guidelines, and you could build yourself up in this program. That's
right.
What they made it to be.
So that was the allure. They wanted people to believe. It was almost like a self-help seminar at first. Like Raniere pushed it off, and Mack pushed it off as a self-help seminar. And I want my audience to hear that closely, what she just said, folks. The self-help programs, I don't care if they're wrapped up in religious rappers or elite rappers or socialite rappers, you're going to wind up in something you don't want to get yourself wound up in. And I don't want to start speaking about that. But Chris, that would understand. What was the actress's name, the brunette? And I saw that special. She wouldn't give us an interview. We tried. Sarah Do you remember the
Sarah Evanson?
Evanson, yes.
Evanson.
She, we reached out to Sarah's representative. At that time, she was so traumatized by this. She was not giving any interviews except that one interview. I listened to her talk about this stuff, Chris. This was dark underground stuff that you see on the dark web. And for anybody out there that knows what that dark web is, that's stuff that cannot make it to the real internet because it's so disgusting. This was really big time, deep rooted sex. They held her down. They did some things to this woman she may never get help for unless she gets deliverance, honestly. But that was just one story. And Oxenberg's daughter was another one, India. Catherine Oxenberg got excoriated by Hollywood. She kept telling people this was going on. And she literally herself went in and rescued India from this, didn't she?
Yep. She risked everything. You know, she went to the FBI. She went to the New York State Attorney General, not the one that's there now.
Right.
The other
right.
one. And, you know, you talk about a mother's love for their child. Catherine Oxenberg did what she needed to do to rescue her daughter from this sick and depraved cult. And, you know, when it finally got exposed for the filth and garbage that it was, it blew up. But going back to talking about Gillibrand, her stepmother is still involved in it. It's still somewhat going on, but her father was Keith Raniere's attorney.
Exactly. That is correct.
At one time.
That is correct.
And then for Kristen Gillibrand to basically sit there and go like, I didn't know anything was going on. Dude, please tell me under God's green earth, how you could not know that your father and stepmother were involved in this.
You can't. Let me ask you about the sentencing. I'm glad you brought the lawyer up. Because we are sort of in a semi-McJustice show this afternoon. How many years did Raniere get?
120 years.
Okay. So he got pretty much a life sentence. Okay.
Yeah.
But Allison Mack, Chris, this co-founder of this, was to me just as guilty as he. She walks into that courtroom yesterday, gets 3 years. 3 years. I mean, for goodness sake, if you start thinking about time served, if she sees 6 months of this, I mean, look, I just know how the justice system works. A 3-year sentence,
yeah.
You're on good behavior, you out in the hockey season. You just out in the hockey season. My question to you is, what did they excoriate that much information from her? Does she sell Raniere out? Or how did she wind up with a 3-year sentence compared to his 120?
She sold him out.
She sold him out. Okay.
She sold him out. She gave the prosecutors crucial evidence. And apparently she recorded Raniere and her talking and got him to admit it on audio that he created DOS.
Okay.
And apparently the prosecutors did not want the judge to go life. They thought maybe 15 years would be sufficient for her.
Right.
But when she got up in front of the court yesterday and renounced Raniere, and she gave this heart spiel bull crap, I'm sorry, apology nonsense. The judge says, she's probably learned, but I'm going to give her 3 years. Like, what the heck? What? Are you kidding me? 3 years.
Do you believe her? Did you believe that little scene? I thought it was nothing but a good case of acting to me.
She's an actress. You know how to turn on the water.
Absolutely.
You know how to turn them off.
Absolutely.
For me, you don't sit there and you do not starve. You do not brand. You do not torture women so that Keith Raniere could have his personal sexual gratification.
That's all it was. That's all it's turned out. I don't want to spend the whole program on this. We'll move on from it. Closure for these victims, or do you think that this goes on and other names are going to pop up? Do you think we see justice for the other powerful people that protected this cult? Because there was a lot of powerful people, Chris, that were protecting it.
Warren Sullivan hasn't been sentenced. Nancy Salzman has not been sentenced. Those are the other two big name people that still have not been sentenced yet.
Do you think they that any of them turn on the big names, the big, big names that were sort of protecting this stuff?
If anybody is going to turn on anybody, it will be Nancy Salzman.
Okay.
Because remember, she had the books.
She had the books. Okay. Fair enough. Let's move on because I want to talk about something else. A couple other cases. The other one is huge. I want you to deal with the McAfee situation. I know some people have heard about this. Others have not. Tell everybody what you found out. And this is intriguing. It has ties to Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, of all things. And Epstein still didn't kill himself. I just want to go on record on this McFiles Thursday special. On the first day of July of 2021. It was about, 2 years ago than this happened, right? I think this was right. I was leaving D.C. on the 4th of July coming home. And when I was listening, I was going down 81. It had to be the 5th or 6th of July. We're coming up on the 2-year anniversary. And when I heard that he had hung himself, I was like, are you joking me? And, man, I tell you anyway, I'm going to look in the camera. Epstein didn't kill himself. Okay, yank my channel for that one, YouTube. Okay, yank it. Bunch of turds. Listen, tell me about McAfee. He's got a tie to this. Because he had put out a statement here about a year ago about his ties to Epstein. I'm going to let you take it from here because I want you to tell people from who McAfee is, how this is tied into this, because Mr. McAfee's going to the great McAfee vault in the sky. Again.
John McAfee, everybody knows what antivirus programs are.
Yes, I got it on my computer.
Okay, well, John McAfee was the one that founded McAfee, virus protection.
Yep.
He's the one that created it, okay? So that's who John McAfee is, okay? He started that software company back in the late 1980s. He had the company for, 7 years. Then he sold it and became a multi-millionaire. So he got a lot of money, and then he kind of went off the deep end, and he just said, what the hell in this country, I'm taking off. He went to live in, I believe, Belize or something. And, So, but he had dual citizenship with England and America because his father was American, his mother was English. So he had dual citizenship. But he put out a tweet probably about a year and a half ago.
He did.
That basically had stated that Epstein didn't kill himself, and then if I died, I didn't kill myself.
Sorry. I know this is serious. I'm sorry. I know it's serious. But you gotta laugh a little bit, Chris. You gotta just laugh a little bit at this. He literally said, if I die, I didn't kill myself either. I mean, I'm serious.
And he had also put a tattoo on his right arm that said WAP with dollar signs.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. This is serious. I'm trying to be serious. Chris, the man didn't kill himself either. McAfee did not kill himself.
The funny thing is that Tennessee prosecutors for the federal court here in Tennessee, in Western Tennessee.
Yes.
Had charged him with some kind of tax code.
Yeah, I heard about that. Or saw it.
He was leaving Spain, and they picked him up in the airport on the warrants. That's why he was in the Spanish prison waiting extradition. Now, they were waiting to run through the Spanish courts whether or not they were going to extradite him back to the United States or not. Well, the day he died, the Spanish courts basically said, we're going to go ahead and extradite you back. Now, according to his wife, she had talked to him that day, several hours before the I didn't kill myself. He was in good spirits. He was fine. They had a plan in place that they were going to fight the extradition. So why would he kill himself? Now I read today that he had locked, according to unnamed sources, and you know how we all love unnamed sources. You gotta love these unnamed sources.
I'm sorry. God, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Said that he had locked himself in the cell, and 2 hours before he was found, he had locked himself in the cell. They found him 2 hours later, and he was dead. But they don't reveal how he died. And then he left a suicide note in his pocket.
Did they ever reveal how they died? Yeah, suicide note conveniently left in his pocket. Are you serious? Hey, let me ask you this while we're on this subject. I'm telling you, they in the chat room says, these people are worse than the mafia. Look, at least the mafia leave their calling card. You know, they want people to know who does it when they do it. This bunch, they just commit you, they suicide you, and then they leave you with a suicide note in your pocket. Do you think this, I want to ask you, and it's obvious me and you don't believe that, and it's obvious my audience don't believe that, and if you're out there and you do believe he committed suicide, I've got some swampland down in the Georgia drylands to sell you today. I really need the thing, but anyway.
I've got oceanfront property in Death Valley, California.
Sorry, Christian, this is so comical, I'm telling you. But I got a couple of serious questions. Newscaster in Birmingham that did the same thing here just a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago. he was the one that basically broke the story of the tarmac incident between Clinton and Lynch. He winds up committing suicide. And I had interviewed James Spann back in April on the 20th or the 10-year anniversary of the super outbreak of tornadoes. And he worked at the same TV station as Mr. Spann. And I sent James an email and I said, I'm really sorry to hear about that. And of course, James ain't going to respond to this because I put in the email, I said, James, this stinks to high heaven. And I said, I know this is not true. And of course, he's not gonna say anything about it. Do you think have you figured any ties to this? Is there something going on that we're not aware of right now that they're beginning to off people again? Because you got the newscaster, you got McAfee, and when these things start dominoing like this, there's something that they're cleaning up. What do you have any thoughts on that or what it might be? Or do you think this is just, it's just we're living in this crazy, insane, absolutely drop-dead, insane, crazy world, and these things are just happening by random?
Well, let's go back to the reporter. He's the one that broke the story about Lynch
and Clinton. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So what did McAfee know? I mean, you know, he's being extradited on tax charges. So why often? Did he know something?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a computer whiz, so obviously there's a possibility that he knew something.
Did he know the Clintons? Did the McAfee Clinton, did they hang around with each other?
I have no idea. I've never looked into that part of it.
Why don't you look into that farce, and maybe next time we get you on, we'll talk about the connection there. There's always a connection. Always a connection. Yeah, always a connection.
You know, being Arkansas is just, it's deadly for your health.
Well, I want to go on record today that, now what was this tie to Epstein? Let me go back. Because I guess the connection with the tweet, right? He said Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And neither did I. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking. I think I need to get a T-shirt for the summer with that, and let everybody wear it around the country. And Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself, and neither did I. You know. And I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. Look, I know it's tragic, Chris. I know, but it's just comical to me the stuff that's going on right now in this nation. We've just lost our ever-living cotton-picking mind, Chris. This nation's going insane, buddy. I mean, I've known you for 3.5. We're going to be knowing each other 4 years at the end of this year. And even when we were first together at the beginning, I mean, this stuff was crazy. It is going on steroids, my buddy. Lemon drop. It's going on steroids.
I just sit there and I literally shake my head.
All the day. All the day.
It's like, you know, you're wondering, like, when's the next big, gigantic, you know, bomb going to drop? Who's going to be off next? Or, you know, like, who was it that said, I know, it was Edward Snowden said, probably Julian Assange will be the next one to go.
Lois, are you sure about that? And Lois Miller posts, she says he had info on something. He was supposed to have a place at the collapsed hotel. We can't prove that. Lois, if you've got a link or you got some kind of proof to that, I'd be glad to hear it and see it. I'm not going to come out and say that's fact. That's somebody's assumption, unless you've got something we don't know, Lois. but if he was supposed to stay in that collapsed motel, Chris, then that brings that into question. That, because I want to ask you about that. That conveniently happened in the middle of all this audit, and it happened with a lot of stuff. She says, I can't guarantee, Lois, if you can't guarantee it 100%, please don't be posting it in the chat room. It's just, I mean, look, we got enough of that already. We don't know that, so we're not sure about that. Nothing personal. But Chris, the thing is that, all of these things are, I think, going to get more and more pronounced. And I wouldn't be surprised if ain't somebody else show up dead. Do you know why he was in Spain? Was he running from the country on these tax charges?
Nope, that's where he lived.
That's where he lived. So he moved. He moved.
Yeah. He was living in Spain. I guess he was flying back to the States for something, and they caught him at the airport. So I guess when he was trying to go through security, or, you know, how you have to check in when you're getting your passport checked, they had him tagged as having an outstanding warrant to be extradited, to be stopped from leaving the country.
Okay.
So
all
that's
right.
That's how it happened.
All right. So that's two. We got the Epstein thing and the NextVM. Do you think anything else is going to come of this? Do you think that we've heard the last of the McAfee? I tell you what, it'd be a sort of a creepy thing putting McAfee virus protection on your computer now. I know that. Sorry. Every time I run a McAfee scan, I'm going to be thinking, uh-oh, he's been Clinton-sided. You know, they've been Clinton-sided. You know, I don't know. Probably going to kill your computer. They're going to suicide your computer. Let me drop. I want to say something about Bill Cosby this afternoon, and my good friend Marlon Brown. I don't know if he's listening this afternoon. Marlon contacted me yesterday after I posted something on Facebook, and we're going to take your questions, folks, in just a second. In just a second, please don't be asking questions and just listen to my guests right now. Let Chris do the talking. We're going to get to y'all in just a second on the chat. But Chris, Bill Cosby is about to be released. Pennsylvania judge basically threw the case out that they had against him. I was pretty upset about it. Marlon Brown called me yesterday, and he told me, he said, I've got some information for you. I don't want to get into it publicly, but it threw some shade on the prosecution's case against Cosby. And because he's been following that case very closely. He's actually been following Cosby's whole situation very closely. Marlon Brown was on our show Tuesday night, for those of you that remember. Good guy. And he's not some fly-by-night, out there, YouTube-chasing kind of guy. He is a patriot. And I don't want to get into the details he gave me, but I'm going to get your opinion, first of all. Is it possible that Bill Cosby did not do these crimes, in your opinion? Is it possible that the case being thrown out is a correct decision? But if it's not correct, how do you be accused of something? And I will say this, Chris, and I have to say it. It's always bothered me. I don't care who it is that brings stuff up that's 30 years, 20 years in the past, and they just can arbitrarily say something. Because let me tell you something. that's a dangerous slope we're on. If anybody can bring something up that's 30 years old against somebody, and then the justice system takes it and basically puts you away for life 30 years later, that's dangerous, is it not?
Very, very, very dangerous, because you can, you know, you're talking 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, we're just going to go ahead and ruin this person's life and career or whatever else. But in reading on what actually took place, I didn't see the show with your friend Marlon.
Yeah.
But,
well, we didn't talk about Cosby Tuesday night now. We didn't talk about Bill. We were talking about something else, but when he saw, I posted something yesterday out of Gateway Pundit that said that Cosby was getting released, and I had a few choice words about it. Because at the first look at that, I felt, again, it's a travesty of justice. He ain't spent, less than a year in jail for this stuff. And they just didn't let him out early, Chris. They threw the whole case out. The Pennsylvania judge threw the entire case out against him.
It was the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court did, yeah. I mean, they basically struck down the whole case. This was not some case of where you had somebody in jail for rape for 30 years, and then the court system said, hey, he served enough time, we're going to let him go home. He won his appeal to the Supreme Court. I will say one thing that Marlon told me. I don't think he'll mind this. There were rumors that Bill Cosby was getting ready to buy NBC. And he had told insider people that he was going to take NBC and he was going to turn it into a more family-friendly network, and he was going to clean house. That's what I heard. It's what Marlon sort of insinuated to. And I'm just being honest. You know, I don't know. We'll see. And you know, I'm just telling you. I just believe that there's a lot more to this than what we're seeing, and I'm, you know, sometimes we get sort of angry about it. I'm just curious what you feel about this. Do you feel that them throwing it out gives us a pause to this, that maybe he didn't do this? I'm just asking. I don't know. I mean, look, the only two people that know what he did to that woman is him and that woman and God, okay, ultimately. Well, I ain't there. I wasn't there 30 years ago. I don't know. What say you?
Well, from what I've read, basically the Supreme Court said that Cosby was denied his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. I guess when he testified in a civil suit, he admitted that he did this. So what the prosecution did was they took his testimony from the civil case and used it to prosecute him in the criminal case. So the Supreme Court says, no, sorry, you can't do that. You can't take his testimony in a civil case and use it to incriminate him in a criminal case.
Correct.
You can't.
That's correct.
No, you can't do that. So that's why the Supreme Court just dismissed it. And he can't be retried on that particular one. You can't be retried. It's done, it's over with. So if somebody else wants to come forward and say that he did it, then yes, the prosecution can go ahead and file new charges. But not on this particular case can they file charges again. To me, I'm like, you know, why go after an old man? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you got people running around doing stupid stuff, and yet you give somebody 3 years for what they did.
Did he admit in court that he did this? Did he admit that he did this?
It was in a civil lawsuit, and what the prosecution did is Cosby never testified in the criminal case. What the prosecution did is they took the civil testimony and entered it in as evidence.
Did he say in the civil testimony he did it?
Yes. But you can't take the testimony and put it into a criminal case. That's a whole separate thing.
Okay. Well, look, I don't, again, I'm not here, I want to make it clear to the audience this afternoon. We are not either impugning nor acquitting Bill Cosby. It's that that is a, that the case itself is between him, that woman, and God. If he did these things, Chris, then it is a travesty of justice to me. Now, I know the legal part of it. No, you can't take testimony from a civil case, put it into a criminal case. I get that, because that's a violation of our civil rights. It's unconstitutional, and none of us would want that to happen. The bar on the civil case is always lower than it will ever be on the criminal case.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there are forces, or were forces, that wanted Bill Cosby taken off the map. Because if this is true, and there's no reason to believe it wasn't, that he was going to basically overturn the tables at NBC and turn it into more of a family-friendly network. Because look, I remember growing up as kids watching Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. I remember I didn't really watch the Huxtables that much. I didn't watch, what was the big show him and Felicia Rashad was on?
The Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show. And was there ever any other accusations against him other than this woman? Has there ever been other women that came forth and said?
There were other women who came forward and said the same thing. But, you know, these were like 20, 30 years ago. You know, why are you, you know, their reasoning for waiting so long was we were afraid of him. But all of a sudden, now people are just, you know, willy-nilly, let's run to the cops, let's run to the press, and, you know, let's just, you know, put it out there. You know, if you're a woman and you have integrity, you should never be afraid to stand up and say, I'm not taking that. I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet, you know what, be damned, and just go to the cops.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you, what's your, me to you, just me to you, without any kind of, and this is our opinion, folks, and you can have yours about it. What did you think yesterday when you heard this, though? Do you think that this was justice being trampled, or do you think this was justice being served? And actually what needed to be done. What was your thoughts?
Just, to me, I think, you know, you're going to have to, he's going to have to answer to God for it.
Okay.
We know how the justice system works now. You know, it's just, you know, letting him answer to God for what he has or has not done. But the prosecutors shot themselves in the foot.
The prosecutors, look, on the legal side of this, which that's what this show is about, McJustice, the legal side, the Supreme Court made the right call. The personal side, and the moral side is a different discussion.
Yep.
And I'm with you on that. God will deal with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby's 80 years old. And Stacey's right, Stacey Garcia. She says God is ultimately the final judge. And, you know, Stacey's comment about it doesn't mean that he did it when he admitted to it in the civil case. Stacey, I have to disagree with you on that one. If he admitted it during the civil case, yeah, I think that does mean that he did it. That's yep. just in my opinion, Stace. I'm agreeing with you on that second statement. That first statement, I'm not so much, but I understand your point on that. Look, guys, we got about 10 minutes. If you got a question for Chris on any of this, and please keep your questions on topic, folks. She can't answer whether John Kennedy's alive, or whether the Easter Bunny is real, or whether the Braves will ever win another baseball game ever. But you need. They did win last night. It's about time. Hey, how about our Hawks? How about our Hawks? You know, I hate the NBA, but I have to give kudos to our Atlanta Hawks. They are 2 games away from the finals. They've never been there. Went from worst to first. They didn't even win 20 games. They didn't win 12 games last year. And look at this little young team that's been a great surprise this year. I just wished it wasn't the NBA, because I still can't stomach the NBA. And I just bomb it when they play because of the disrespect that they have given the country. But I am proud of my Hawks. I really am. And I wish them the best against the Milwaukee. All right, Diane Kelly, could he have been threatened to say that he did it? Diane, I don't know. I don't believe that. Do you, Chris? Do you think that he was threatened to say that he did it? Why would Why would he care? He's 80 years old. I mean, if they kill him, I don't mean this to be funny, Diane. He's 80 years old. What are they going to do? Kill him? He's 80. He's on bar time anyway. Correct, Chris?
I would say he doesn't look like he's in good health. Hasn't looked like he's been in good health for a long time.
He's not been in good health. No, that's true. He's not been in good health in a long time. He hasn't. I just think that he had the money and the clout, though, and there was somebody that sort of alluded to this. He was calling out the black community about their lack of responsibility with fathers. He was. He was never scared to call black fathers out and say, look, you need to start raising your kids, you know, like a father instead of like a bunch of hoodlums and a bunch of punks and thugs. And that's never going to go over well with the black leadership of the black community today. The Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons and all that bunch, they're never going to like that kind of stuff.
Nope.
But Diane, to answer your question, my personal opinion, no, I don't think he was threatened. What do you think he was threatened?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Anyway, you got a question real quick. Let's see. Let me come here to Facebook, see if anybody's got a question. Victoria says, didn't McAfee post that if anything happened to him, he had a terabyte of information that would be given to somebody if he died? That's actually a great question. Did you hear about the terabyte? Somebody else, yeah. I think Thea posted that. Yeah. Does he have that? That's pretty good. That's a good question, isn't it?
I have heard that. I've read that. But asking who has it, nobody knows. And who's supposed to give it to who? Nobody knows. So whoever McAfee gave it to, they're supposed to give it to somebody so that information can be dropped.
Do you think it ever made it? Do you think it's made it to the hands of the person it needs to get to?
Oh, I can guarantee you it has.
I got to ask you this question, though. Under the current environment, would you give anything to an FBI agent today?
It's not going to an FBI agent. It would go to somebody that would literally drop it, wouldn't go to officials.
You think it'd go to an attorney, somebody like that?
It would go to somebody who would, I would go to somebody who would drop it to let everybody see it.
Okay, interesting. Very, very interesting. Darlene, you said his son was murdered by the road changing the tire. Was that Cosby's son?
Yep.
So Cosby, when did that happen?
Back in the 90s.
90, so that's been a while.
Yeah, and I don't think they ever found his killer.
No, they didn't. That's a good point. That's right. I remember that. I do remember that. Do you think, Bat Lady asked this question, she says, do you think McAfee and Gates are in this together? That's actually, I was looking at that question, debating to ask that, but I don't think there's any tie to them two, is there? No.
Because McAfee was on a, he had very big issues with the vaccine.
Yes, he did. I do know that. Well, that adds another little element to this. That he was an anti-vaxxer, wasn't he? He did not want the vaccine given to people. And Chris, I tell you, you know, geez, I mean, how crazy is it? I mean, the insanity and the danger, you can't say nothing. I'm just saying, you go out and say something in public like that, you're putting a target on your back. You're just putting a target on your back. Anyway, Lois Miller says, if I prosecute Cosby and not others like Cuomo and other actors who have done the same, well, Lois, that's a softball toss. Because the other actors in Cuomo are being protected by the very people that killed Bill, that killed and prosecuted Cosby and killed McAfee. I mean, that's a simple softball toss right there.
Well, here's one that came out yesterday. Yesterday was a big news day. Everybody remembers Kyle Massey from Dancing with the Stars, who was on like That Raven's on the Disney Channel?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I do. The name sounds familiar.
Okay. Well, he had felony charges brought against him in Washington by a 13-year-old mother. Apparently, she tried to file a civil lawsuit in California against him for the same thing, And when that failed, she decided to file criminal charges in Washington, which this 13-year-old lived, for, let me see, make sure I get this right, charged with a felony of immoral communications with a minor, sending pornographic material to a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
He's 29.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Let me go to Facebook because I've been on YouTube. I want to come over here to Facebook a little bit. Linda Brown, good to see you, Linda, my dear buddy. Love you, friend. Appreciate you too. She says, could releasing Cosby be a distraction? It's always a distraction, isn't it? Is not everything a distraction these days? I mean, look, we got an audit that's about to blow the lid off this election fraud, Chris. And yeah, everything right now is a distraction. There was a shooting in Spartanburg, South Carolina this afternoon. They've had the collapse of the building in Miami. We've got all sorts of distractions going on right now. Airstrikes in Syria this week. I mean, look, you're getting up. Whatever you see in the news, folks, ignore it. I know it's real news, but it's to distract you from what's going on in that little capital of Arizona tonight and other states to come. I'm telling you, it is a distraction, without a doubt. So, Linda, yeah, absolutely, I believe it is. And I'm going to say, Victoria, she says, do you think they're dead or not? Me and Chris may disagree on that. They're dead, folks. They're dead. Epstein didn't kill himself. He's dead. Look, we're 2 years after the fact. If Epstein was going to make some grand appearance to save Trump, it would have already happened, folks. It would have already happened. If he was going to make some grand experience to put Hillary in jail, it's a little too late for it now. Joe Biden's been sworn in. That's just my thought. But anyway, I don't want to get into that discussion because that would be it too. False flags. Don't waste your time chasing that rabbit. That's just my thought. That's just my personal advice. And Trump's going to the border. Yeah, but folks, let me tell you about Trump going to the border. He's not president. I mean, he's my president. I mean, I think we all consider him our president, but legally. Look, he went to that border yesterday, and he was welcomed. And but the media didn't go with Kamala, Chris. I found it very intriguing. Kamala was in El Paso yesterday. Trump was down there where the real problem was. I just came back from there in April. Where he was at, I stood at that very place where he was doing that press conference. I recognized that part of that wall. I was right there. And I was there in person. And Kamala wasn't nowhere to be found. It's amazing the media didn't follow her too much, but they sure followed Trump, didn't they? And Jim Acosta acted like the jackanapes. Now, I use another term for it, but this is a family show this afternoon. But he acted himself out and asked him, would Trump apologize for January 6th, and got booed. So the media is worried about him. They were very worried about him going to that border. So it could have been a false flag. Of course, Lois, we just said that. He did go to the border. It's getting close to 4th of July. And I don't know. It's just a lot of red flags. My point to you guys out there today is don't let these distractions keep you off the prize. I believe it's the audit, Chris. That audit is far, far more far-reaching. Look, I'm glad the president went to the border yesterday, but that's not the story. The story is this voting situation in Arizona. My friend, if that state goes red, good Lord, the bomb, the time bomb that's about to go off in this nation. And they're scared to death on the left of that, without a doubt. What say you?
Yeah, I think they're done with it. I think they're just finishing up a few loose ends. Supreme Court came back today by a vote of 6-3 saying that Arizona's voting laws, whatever they had passed, are good to go. They don't violate any laws that are already standing. So however they have their new voting laws, do not violate anything. They're good to go with the way they have it set up. And the dingbat that runs the Secretary of State in Georgia finally admitted that, yeah, there were some election, shenanigans in Fulton County, and that the state needs to take over Fulton County when it comes to elections.
Well, it's a little late. That's a little late, isn't it? Isn't that a little late?
A little late to the party there, pal.
Well, he needs to go to jail. I'm going to tell you something, Chris. That was under his watch. And if he's aware of it, that's a criminal offense, is it not?
Yes, is it not? Dereliction of duty.
It's a dereliction of duty, isn't it? And he needs to go to jail. If he's admitting that, then there needs to be an investigation and audit open tonight. There shouldn't be no waiting till tomorrow. There should be an investigation open into the Georgia elections tonight. If he's admitting that, that's it.
Because you can't go and sit there and stay between, you know, it's all on camera. I mean, what more evidence do you need to have to sit there and go like, well, we now see a problem. Dude, did mama drop you on your head when you were a baby?
No, they did. But Chris, let me tell you something. You're hitting something I want to go out on because we're running out of time. This is not about them knowing the truth. The left knows the truth, okay? These people know what they did. These elected officials know what they did. These voting officials know what they did. The whole Democratic apparatus knows what it did, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. Mitch McConnell knows what he did. Mike Pence knows what he did. The Republican Party knows what it did because they wanted to get rid of Trump just about as bad as the Dems did. They wanted their good old boy club back. Trump was never going to give them that party back. Trump was going to make this party brand new, and he still will do it at some point. I'm telling you, the Republican Party is dead to me. They are dead to me. And I don't care. I've cut every donation off. I still get these texts about the 2022 election with the RNC. They're not getting a dime of my money. I'll donate to Trump. I'm going to donate to President Trump's efforts. But they will never see another dime. I don't care what Republican it is. I don't like Tim Scott. I don't like Ted Cruz. I don't like any of them. They're nothing but a bunch of pompous, you-know-what, blowhards. I was down there in April, and my dear friend Orlando Rodriguez, he took me to the very spot that Ted Cruz had been there just probably 2 days before I got there. And he said, Ted Cruz was standing right here promising to do something about this border. And it was 2 weeks, actually, 2 weeks. And I said, have you heard from him? Have you heard from him since? Nope, not a word. And Chris, that's what they do. That's what they do. They get in front of a camera. They'll go to a safe place down along that border, okay? They'll go to a little safe hut, get in front of that camera, promise everybody the world, just like they've been doing for 4 years and 6 months, and we're going to fix this. We're going to fix this for you poor, pitiful Americans being jackhammered by the Dems. What they don't tell you, folks, is they're having beer and wine and lattes with the Dems. When that camera goes off, they're going into their little chamber rooms and they're making deals with the Dems to screw the entire country. Am I right, Lemon Drop? Am I right?
Nailed it.
Anyway. All right, you went quiet on me. You got a final word or two? You got anything to say before I dispatch you? Anything final to say? Good to have you today, buddy. I really am glad you're with us.
Just, you know, don't fall for these false flags, folks. You know, we're seeing things taking place. The Dems are definitely worried. But, you know, when you see things, hear things, you know that things are starting to line up. You know, I read somewhere that there's nothing in the Constitution that if things start showing up in the audits where it shows that Trump actually won Arizona and Georgia does their audit shows that Trump won, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that Biden can't get his butt thrown out of the White House and Trump take over.
I know.
There's nothing in the Constitution.
Well, so I'll agree.
Just keep your eyes on these audits.
But
the Dems are scared.
I know, they are. I will say this, Chris, and the director has said it, and I'll just throw this out. We are in uncharted territory, buddy. Legally, constitutionally, and this is a sort of a justice show this afternoon, and I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I will tell people this, though, and I tell people this every time we get on this discussion. What's ahead is not going to be pie in the sky. It's going to be very, very turbulent, and we just need to gear up for that. Listen, I don't want it to be as long in between visits. You're my friend. I love you like a sister. I do. I appreciate you. I joke around with you a lot, but there's a deep felt respect for you. You know, I've always told you this privately, and I tell you publicly. You're just a good friend, and I don't have many friends. I got a lot of acquaintances sometimes, but I don't have a lot of good friends. You're my friend, and I appreciate my friends, and you're one of them. And I want you to come back soon, and maybe let's do this once a month at least. We've sort of got out of the habit of doing it. I know you got a weird work schedule, but we've sort of adjusted our schedule too since this COVID scare, and so we're trying to do something every night. You know, at least if we'd go early, it's about this time. But I appreciate you coming on today. Good information. I hope people will chew on what we said. And look, if there's something that bombs and breaks, you call me. We'll get you back on, okay? And we'll talk about it. But I do want you to sort of keep an eye on this NextVM thing. And I think when the smoke clears, I guess we'll all figure what Bill Cosby's situation is. I think there's just a lot of too many unknowns to make a judgment call on that right now.
Yeah.
But Marlon, I put it like this, Marlon Brown knows enough about it. He told me, he said, just be slow to judgment right now on this. He said, just wait, because there's a lot about to come out. So we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what's going on. We'll let it stay at that. Folks, we appreciate you joining us on this special McJustice McFiles special Thursday afternoon, early edition. I have not seen my friend, the Lemon Drop, in a long time. She has made it worth our while today, and I really do appreciate her coming on. It's been really good, buddy. I appreciate it. It's been good stuff. And McAfee did not kill himself. Now, if your computer, if you put a McAfee virus scan on your computer, and Hillary Clinton's face pops up in the middle of the scan, I would probably delete that McAfee software real quick. I'm sorry.
I can't believe you.
I guarantee somebody out there is going to be running that scan. They're going to be running that scan, and there's going to be a screensaver that comes up and says, McAfee did not kill himself. He's probably bugged some of his future versions of his virus software. And he's going to have Hillary Clinton and Bill standing there waving at everybody and saying, McAfee didn't kill himself, we promise. So if you get that on your screen, there's a control panel, and you go to the uninstall button, and you may want to uninstall your McAfee software. I'm going to probably get in trouble for making fun of this. But Chris, you got to admit, everybody that turns up dead these days, first question out of their mouth. Look, if somebody's got a parrot in a house and the parrot drops dead, the first question in the house is, what did that parrot know about Hillary Clinton? I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. But anyway, I shouldn't. I'm just in a thirsty mood, I swear. But that was pretty funny, though. I have to say, that's pretty funny, you know. That's probably what's going to happen. All righty, let me get out of here before I get myself in any more trouble. God bless you. God bless your families. God bless this great nation of America. And John McAfee did not kill himself, and neither did Jeffrey Epstein. And the parrot didn't kill himself either. So anyway, we'll see you tonight. Listen, let me tell you everybody this. Chris, thank you. Folks, in about a half hour, probably around 7:30, 7:40, Faith Network only, but you, Facebook will have you doing this, but our Faith Network, we're actually going to do a special Thursday night Faith show. We're going to just pick up where we left off last night on our Wednesday night Faith show. So this won't be on any other network but the Faith. So if you're on the McFiles Faith Network, come on over. We got a little bit of a Faith for you tonight on a study that we started last night. You'll enjoy it. And we'll go about an hour, hour and a half, and that'll be that. Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you. I hope you and your mom's doing well. And I'll see you soon. We need to get together for lunch real soon. We do. Catch up.
Okay.
Bless you, friend. Let's say hello and thank the Lemon Drop for being with us today. Great show. Everybody's loving you out there, and I love you too. Folks, we'll see you a little bit later here on the McFiles Faith and Facebook. See you then. Until then, Chris Farr. Chris and Chris. The CK Show. The Lemon Drop and the Mac Man. See you later, guys. Take care. We'll be right back.